How do you do? Of all the agreements we enter into in life, none is more important than the covenant relationship of marriage. Being an attorney, the man in this story knew the importance of the vows, but not the reason behind them. Not until he violated his own marriage contract. Full of guilt, he met the advocate, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people do a lot of walking, mostly in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Those who come to the old lighthouse in Chicago walk into light. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, Pacific Garden Mission offers nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep, as well as medical and dental care in the Mission Clinic. Like everything else, free. But above all, Mission counselors and pastors offer the light of the world, the truth that sets them free. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3039 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
You're so quiet this morning, Matt. You're not yourself at all.
Oh, yeah, sorry, hon.
You've hardly touched the food you ordered. What's wrong?
There's something I need to tell you, Kay.
I'm listening.
My secretary is pregnant, and I'm the father.
The man in our story was risking his marriage with that confession. And this is the story of how he came to that point and how it changed his life. It's the true testimony of Matt Henderson, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in Nashville in 1942, but we moved to Washington, D.C., where my dad served in the Navy. After the war, we lived in Syracuse while I got his master's in mechanical engineering. I was in fourth grade when we moved to Huntsville, Alabama, where Dad worked at the Redstone Arsenal. Mom stayed at home and cared for us, and my grandparents greatly influenced my life with love and life lessons. Although my parents took us to Sunday school and church, alcohol became a big part of my problem as I partied with friends. I started drinking during my junior year, but I graduated in 1960.
Well, Matt, you ready for college?
Ready as I'll ever be, Dad.
I know you've been accepted at Vanderbilt, but it'd be less expensive to go to the University of Florida, so I've taken a job in Orlando.
Cool. I like Florida.
You're good at math, so you should do well in engineering.
Everyone assumed I'd be an engineer because Dad was one, but I wasn't good at it, and I didn't study very hard. I continued my excessive drinking with fraternity brothers. Now, on the verge of flunking out in my junior year, I changed my major to political science, and I graduated in 1964. Mine was probably the lowest grade point average you can have and still graduate.
Congratulations, son. Now what?
I applied to law school, and the University of Florida accepted me.
With your grades?
Not only that, but I also applied to Vanderbilt Law School, and I've been accepted there, too.
Oh, well, great, but really, what do you know about law, Matt?
Nothing at all. But I've seen programs on TV. I can be a lawyer. My first semester in law school, I studied hard, even staying at school over the Christmas holidays. When grades came out, I was in the lower third of my class, not very good for all that effort. So I reverted to my old ways, drinking and carousing. 30 days before final exams in the spring, I was running scared.
Hey, Matt, let's party, man.
I can't. I gotta hit the books.
Oh, come on, that ain't like you.
Well, you're telling me. But I haven't cracked a book all semester, and I'm in trouble.
Yeah, are you serious?
I'm serious, and I don't want to flunk out, so don't bother me for the next 30 days.
Hey, everybody. The bookworms has emerged. It's Mab.
Yeah, man. Am I glad that semester's over.
Hey, grades are out. How did you do, man?
I aced all my exams, dude. I'm at the top of my class. From that experience, I learned that I would get through law school, and I reverted to my old ways again, cramming when necessary, coasting as much as possible. In the fall of 1966, I was in my last year of law school and on top of the world. I was president of the legal fraternity, and we held a party at a posh downtown hotel in Nashville. A fellow student introduced me to his date. Wait. Kay who?
My name is not Kay who. It's Kay Coffee.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Kay.
Are you really king of the world, Matt?
No, but I am president of the student body as well as our legal fraternity.
And law review editor. Impressive.
Are you a student here, Kay?
Across the street at Peabody.
I was smitten. Although I'd been drinking, I remembered her name, and I called Kay the next day for a lunch date.
I graduate in June, too. Special education.
I never had a teacher as good-looking as you.
Well, with your brains, you were never in special ed. Were you a good student?
Never. I'm still not. I just study hard for exams.
And yet you're a top student now.
Now, I've never been tops at anything, Kay. Not sports, not anything.
Well, I think you'll be a great lawyer.
I think I'm in love with you. I dated many girls during those years, and I fell in and out of love many times, but Kay was different. 3 weeks after we met, in November 1966, we talked about getting married. 6 weeks after we met, we set the date.
Have you told your parents?
Yes, they don't believe me.
They don't believe you?
No, they don't understand why we're getting married so soon. Mom thinks we have to get married.
Well, I hope you assured her that that was not the case.
Yes, but even so, they sent my aunt here to try and talk me out of getting married.
Really? Why?
Who knows? They probably think I'm not ready. But they're wrong, Kay. I am.
My parents have accepted the news.
I like your family.
Yeah, they like you too, Matt.
Boy, do I have them fooled.
So, January 28th is still the date?
Yes, but there is one thing I want to do before we get married, Kay.
What's that?
Join the Marines.
Oh, I'm not surprised. You've talked about Vietnam a lot.
Well, I feel guilty that so many guys my age are fighting over there while I'm here enjoying the good life.
Will you go in as a lawyer?
No, I want to go in the infantry. In early 1967, the Vietnam War was not yet a political football, even though the casualty rate was already high. 4 days before our marriage, I enlisted.
Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Matt, still get married in a few days?
Yes, sir, but that's not why I called. I joined the Marines today, Dad.
You enlisted?
Yes, in the infantry.
You'll end up in Vietnam, son.
I hope so.
You don't have to go into combat to serve, Matt.
Well, I've always wanted to be a platoon leader, Dad.
When you finish law school in June, you can go in as an attorney.
I don't want to go in as an attorney. I want to fight.
The Marine Corps needs lawyers.
I'm sure they do, but they won't get this one.
Matt, don't waste your education. Go in as an officer.
Oh, I'm going through OCS. Scheduled for that in September.
What happens during the interval?
Well, after we graduate, Kay and I are going to Denver to check out living there when I finish my tour.
Most men in your position were trying to avoid combat.
I'm not most men.
You can say that again. You never fail to surprise me, Matt.
Kay and I were married, and we both graduated in June. In September 1967, I went through basic training at Quantico, determined to be number one in my class. I was number one in leadership and scholarship, but not in the physical events. Officer Candidate School followed, and once again, I was number one, except I failed to qualify as a rifleman. So I finished third in my class of 240, and I went to Vietnam as a second lieutenant. We always seemed to be walking across rice paddies. I mean, they were everywhere. And they had dikes to retain the water, so we were always looking for the next dike so we could get down behind them as cover from bullets. Kay and I wrote letters almost every day. I miss you, honey, more than you know. I told you that the guy who was first in my class was killed, and the guy who was second was seriously wounded and sent home. I've been here 5.5 months, and already we've been on 12 operations. Guys are killed or wounded almost daily. The devastation is greater than I could ever have imagined. I look forward to holding you in my arms again.
Yes, Matt. Come back home to me, safe and sound. Just a moment. I wonder who it is. A military car.
In a moment, we'll hear more about Matt and Kay. When you travel, or if you move, are you curious about where else you can listen to Unshackled? Visit our website, unshackled.org, and click on Radio Log. You'll find a map of the world, and you can click on whatever area interests you to see where this program is broadcast. Now you can let friends in other states know how to hear these inspiring stories. If you don't use a computer, you can write and ask for a free copy of our station log that lists the same information. Alphabetized by state and city, the log tells the radio station, the call letters, time of day, frequency, and whether it's AM or FM. Everything you need to know so you won't miss a single testimony. This station manager recently wrote, "Thank you for Unshackled. We continue to receive testimonies of how lives of those who listen to the program are being transformed." For more information or to receive a free copy of our station log, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I was wounded in the hip with shrapnel, and the Marine Corps notified my wife. After 2 weeks in the hospital, I returned to duty. Halfway through my tour, I met Kay in Hawaii for R&R, and then finished my time in Vietnam as a legal officer in camp. When my tour was finished, I flew home where Kay met me.
Oh, Matt, it's so good to see you again.
Oh, I missed you so much, Kay. Come on, let's get my bag and get out of here.
Matt, that guy just spit at you.
He's an idiot. Thousands have died for his freedom to spit on me. Come on, let's go.
Those war protesters are everywhere.
Yeah, I don't want to think about them.
So where do you go from here?
I have orders to go to Southern California.
I'm just so grateful that you came back to me.
Oh, it's brutal over there, honey. The guy who replaced me was dead 3 days later. And the man that took his place was dead 2 weeks later.
Oh, Matt. I'm so glad you're home.
I'm afraid we didn't think about God very much in those days. Even though he had protected me from certain death so many times. A few months later, our son Josh was born just before I finished my tour of duty in the Marine Corps. We moved to Denver, where I practiced law for 1.5 years in hopes to become president one day if I played the game right. Then we moved to Spartanburg, South Carolina. Our daughter was born in 1974. Kay and I had been married 7 years when I began having affairs, including one with my secretary. For the next 7 years, I was a cheating husband and just one drink from becoming an alcoholic. Meanwhile, my wife drifted into New Age beliefs, and I followed her there, too. In 1980, my secretary told me that I was the father of the baby she carried. I had to tell Kay about it. And this was the hardest thing I've ever done.
I thought you loved me.
Oh, I do love you, Kay.
Then how could you do this to us? So do you want a divorce?
Oh, no, of course not.
But what are we gonna do?
Well, don't worry. She's not working for me any longer. I got her a job with another firm in a different business.
How soon?
This summer sometime.
So she's gonna keep the baby?
Yes. First she was gonna get an abortion. I told her she should do what was best for her, so she changed her mind.
Oh, for the rest of my life I'll have to worry about a knock on the door.
I'm so sorry, honey.
Are you gonna help with expenses?
Yes. I'll send a monthly support check, too.
I never once expected something like this, Matt.
Oh, I am really sorry, Kay. My wife sought answers in her New Age philosophy, but found no comfort. Desperate to find peace, she listened to gospel from Eleanor, our next-door neighbor. Eleanor had been praying for us for years. Kay became a Christian, and I watched her change. What are you doing, honey?
Getting rid of these New Age books.
Thought you were into all that stuff.
At one time I was, but not anymore. Hey, have you seen our Bible?
Not recently.
I need it. I'm going to go with Eleanor to a Bible study on Wednesday night.
A Bible study?
Uh-huh. She helped me to understand how much God loves us, in spite of our sins.
There's an old-fashioned word.
Not to God. It's a word that we need to be familiar with.
Our children and I thought Kay had gone off the deep end. But she kept going to Bible study with our neighbor, and she was being fed the truth.
Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, please. Now, the apostle is talking about Jesus. He says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Folks, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need a Savior because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. That includes you and me and every other person born on this earth. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The prophet Isaiah wrote those words hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, predicting the Messiah who would lay down his life for our sins. He paid the penalty for you on the cross, my friend. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So, how was the Bible study?
Wonderful. I'm born again, Matt.
Whatever floats your boat.
Please don't be disrespectful. Jesus died for you. And he's the one who said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That's in the Bible?
Certainly. The Gospel of John, chapter 3.
Maybe I should read the Bible.
And you should ask Jesus to save you, too.
I thought I was a Christian. Our family went to church.
Yeah, so did my family. But I didn't know the Lord. Not until I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to save me.
After my daughter was born, the monthly support check was a constant reminder that sin has consequences. In time, God convicted me of my need for salvation, and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Soon our children also gave their lives to Christ. And God has been working in my heart ever since, bringing change. We continued in church and in Bible study. Soon we found another church where we're still members. The Lord taught us a valuable lesson.
That was a good sermon today, wasn't it?
Yes.
Tithing is a new concept for some Christians.
Yes, I know. Even though the reference is found in the Old Testament, it has promises for us, too. I had just learned to apply the teaching in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, where God says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God's word is true. And he blessed us in an unusual way right after that.
How was your day, Matt?
Interesting. Remember Jim, the guy that brought property with us down on the Isle of Palms?
Sure, of course. What about him?
He said they have a new baby girl.
At their age?
Yeah, I had the same reaction. He said they adopted a little biracial girl.
Biracial? Think of the questions people would ask. That takes courage.
Yeah, I thought it was a little strange. A week later, Kay went to visit the adopted baby and felt that the Lord wanted us to adopt a special child, too. So we did. A little biracial girl. And sure enough, everyone asked questions about her. A year and a half passed, and the lawyer who handled the adoption called.
Well, how's the baby doing?
She's not a baby anymore, Fletcher. Gets into everything.
But you're happy with her?
Oh, love her to pieces. She fits right in with the family.
Now, your son is in college, isn't he?
Yes, and Hope's a 10th grader. So it's good to have little Bethany around.
I have a client who just gave birth to a biracial girl. Baby was born 6 weeks premature, but there's no one lined up to adopt her, and I wonder if you and Kay would be interested.
Oh, boy, I don't know, Fletcher. Kay has some health issues and...
All right, see how Kay feels. She's the one who'd take care of her.
We prayed and decided that God wanted us to adopt that little girl, Anna Ruth. So we did. 3 years passed. Matt here.
Now, Matt, I have a client who's going to have a biracial boy tomorrow. We had a couple lined up in Greenville that was going to adopt him, but they changed their minds.
You want us to take him?
I was hoping.
I don't know, Fletcher. I'm over 50 now.
Yeah.
Seems kind of late in life to start raising a baby.
Oh, you think about it, huh?
Yeah, poor little guy. Doesn't seem right to be born and not have a mom and dad waiting for him. Kay and I prayed about it. Once again, felt that God wanted us to adopt that little boy. So we did. 3 years passed. Became a joke around our house to say, "Fletcher called." Kay homeschooled the children, and they thrived.
Matt, we have 3 adopted children now. And they seem like our own.
Oh, yes, they sure do.
Do you ever wonder about your other daughter? She would be about 17 now.
That's true.
Why don't you develop a relationship with her?
She's going off to college soon. In fact, her mother wants me to send the support check directly to her.
Well, give her a call. Encourage her.
I didn't want to add to your hurt by getting involved in her life.
Well, I've grown during these years, Matt. We're supposed to become more like Jesus, remember? And he tells us to forgive and love others as he loves us.
I began to call my daughter, who went off to college but then dropped out. So Kay urged me to invite her home for a visit. She came and stayed several days. After she was gone, I phoned Kay from work.
Yeah, she left right after you went to work.
So what do you think?
Honey, I love her.
Oh, thank God.
Let's adopt her.
Adopt her?
Yeah, why not? She's already your daughter. It would make it simpler to introduce her.
Oh, if she's willing, that's fine. We adopted my daughter when she was 19 years old. Then my wife felt led to adopt a Down syndrome baby. I didn't think we were up to it at our age, but we applied for a little girl who had severe problems in every category, physical, mental, and emotional. And the couple that was chosen changed their minds, so we were selected to adopt the child.
Hi, honey. Today I mapped out the route to the hospital, so when we get Selena, we can get there quickly.
You'll never guess what happened today.
Don't you tell me Fletcher called.
No. This time it was the rescue mission in Spartanburg. She has a woman there with a little white boy, 2 1/2, and a biracial daughter, about 1. The woman decided she can't raise the children by herself, so she's looking for a family that'll take both of them. And she wants a Christian family.
But Selena is coming, and she'll be a real challenge, Matt.
I know, honey.
2 more children plus Selena?
I know.
Well, we can go and meet the mother and kids, but we won't rush into anything, okay?
We arranged to meet the family after church on Sunday at the mission. We hadn't even been there an hour when I saw my wife packing up the kids. So they were the 5th and 6th ones we adopted. And our little Down syndrome girl was the 7th. They all play together. God had a plan for all these children and for us. I've shared my testimony in 40 or 50 churches and now through this program to tell you that no matter what you've done, God loves you and wants you to be saved. He knows what we've done, and Jesus died to give us new life so that our lives could fulfill His purpose. He is an awesome God.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listening friend, you can begin your walk with God by turning from your sin and asking Christ Jesus to save you. There are no special words. God looks on the heart. Get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3039. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We love to know you listen, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.